Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Off Menu podcast, taking these sausages of a conversation, putting them in the batter of the internet and pouring over the onion gravy of friendship. Toad in the hole podcast, pod in the hole, Off Menu.
That's Toad in the Hole, was it?
Toad in the Hole.
You missed out a very important ingredient of Toad in the Hole there.
Toad?
No, that's the sausage is the toad.
Mm.
But it's not just sausages with onion gravy, is it?
No, in the batter. I said batter.
But you don't want to say.
What? Well, it's batter. It's not a Yorkshire pudding because there's...
It's Yorkshire pudding.
That's a different shape. It's still the batter, but it's not...
You like Yorkshire pudding, he admitted it.
No, because I didn't say I liked it anyway. But if you put sausages in a Yorkshire pudding, that's not Toad in the Hole. They have to be put in the batter and all cooked together, mate.
That is Ed Gamble. My name is James Acaster. Together we own a dream restaurant, and every single week we invite in a guest and ask them their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink, not in that order. And this week, our guest is...
Peter Capaldi, this is huge, James. I love Peter Capaldi.
National treasure, and played iconic characters.
Yeah.
Malcolm Tucker in the thick of it. Obviously, Doctor Who.
The Doctor, sorry.
He hasn't played Doctor Who. He's played the Doctor.
Yes. I mean, he's got such an amazing back catalogue, such an amazing CV, James. A real proper actor in the Off-Menu studio.
And... you can see him playing Detective Chief Inspector Daniel Hegarty in the new Apple TV Plus series, Criminal Record.
Criminal Record,
out now.
We've not seen it yet, but we're very, very excited. I've been reading the press release. It's exactly the sort of thing that's up my street. I'm going to binge it, James.
Yeah, I'll binge it too. 8 episodes, you can binge that easy.
Should we binge together?
Yeah, let's binge together.
Yeah.
Let's meet up and binge together.
We don't spend enough time together. I think we should start watching TV shows together.
Yeah, we should start doing that as well.
Yeah.
And I don't know, just everything really, I guess. Share a big old bed.
Yeah.
just never be apart.
It's a shame that you said it had to be a big old bed.
Sorry, little bed?
Telling me you want distance from me when we're in bed.
Sorry. Just share a
normal bed.
Two-man bed.
Standard bed, top to tail.
Listen.
Or 69.
I love Peter Capaldi, but if Peter Capaldi says the secret ingredient, an ingredient which we have deemed to be unacceptable, we are going to have to kick him out of the Dream Restaurant.
Sorry, Peter.
And this one was suggested to us on tour.
Yes.
In Glasgow.
Yes.
By the audience. So just because of the Scottish link there, we've chosen to go with it.
The Glasgow link, indeed.
The Glasgow link, indeed. And this week, the secret ingredient is Hershey's
chocolate. American chocolate was suggested to us in Glasgow, but I completely agree with this. Hershey's, man oh man, what are they playing at over there?
It's crazy, right? A country that if anything, specialises in sugar.
Yeah.
Should absolutely be knocking chocolate out the park.
Yeah.
And somehow it's not sweet enough.
I remember the first time I had Hershey's and I distinctly remember it tasting of piss.
Yeah. There's just nothing going on there.
No, it's bad stuff.
It's crazy. It's like dog chocolate or something.
Yeah. It's like dog chocolate.
Yeah.
And that's not a secret ingredient. Dog chocolate isn't the secret ingredient. It's Hershey's.
It's Hershey's, yeah. I'd take dog chocolate over Hershey's.
You know, and Peter's worked on a lot of films. You know, he's worked on American productions. Yes. Maybe at the craft service table, he's taken a liking to Hershey's. But if he has, unfortunately, Peter Capaldi will be removed.
Well,
he'll be regenerated.
Oh, yeah. Imagine if we had to regenerate him during the episode.
Into a different guest to get Jodie Whittaker in to do the rest of the episode.
That would be exciting for people, though. Maybe we should do that, Benito. Maybe we should get a bunch of people who have played the Doctor
to do one episode.
One big episode.
Yeah.
So we can kind of maybe hold off on this, releasing this one, so that we can regenerate Peter into Jodie Whittaker. And for Jodie Whittaker, we can do Whittaker's chocolate as the secret ingredient.
And then Whittaker would have to regenerate into Tennant. I mean, she regenerated into Tennant, didn't she?
Easy secret ingredient there.
Yeah. Easy secret ingredient there, Tennants.
Tennants. So, hey, let's make this happen.
Yeah.
If you're listening, Jodie Whittaker, David Tennant.
But if they're listening, then this is already out, so it's not worked.
We failed.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, everyone. We failed.
This is the off-menu menu of Peter Capaldi. Welcome, Peter, to the Dream Restaurant.
Thank you.
Welcome, Peter Capaldi, to the Dream Restaurant. I've been expecting you for some time.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
James is a genie in this. I feel like I should point this out. That's what that explosion was at the beginning.
I wondered what that was.
Yes, it was a genie explosion.
Well, Peter and I, you know, when we sat, before you came in, Peter remarked on the lamp that Benito's put here in the centre table.
Yes. There is a magic lamp here, which I asked who that belonged to.
Yes, does it belong to the genie?
No.
I guess genies are trapped in the lamps, aren't they? They don't own their property.
This is a plastic one, though, isn't it?
Yes, this is a plastic
one. It's quite small.
Yes. Yeah,
it speaks volumes about the quality of the genie, I'd say.
Or the quality of the panto it might have come from.
Yeah.
Are you a fan of panto?
It's quite enjoyable, yeah.
Yeah, would you ever be in a pantomime?
I'd like to be in a pantomime, It's incredibly hard work because they do like four shows a day.
For like 2 months, yeah.
So all the actors are absolutely exhausted and dying on their feet. But I'm too lazy, you know, I can't be bothered doing that now. But I might end up doing it because... that's what happens with actors' life, isn't it? You're 1 minute you're up, the next minute you're down. You can be in a successful show, and then that can disappear, and then you might be lucky to find yourself in
a decent panto.
I mean, in Basildon or somewhere like that, you know, playing.
Would that be the dream? Would it be Basildon? If you do any panto,
I just plucked Basildon out of the air.
Yes.
I've never been to Basildon. I've no idea. I have no mental image of it.
It's a place that feels like it would have a panto.
You think so?
Yeah, I think.
I didn't want to go for any of the more obvious kind of places where I might know people who are in panto.
Yeah, sure.
And they might be upset with me. I think panto. I think it's you have to have a lot of stamina.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be off the telly a bit.
Yeah, a bit.
I mean, the old days you had to be, you know, like from Dad's Army or something like that.
Yeah.
But now you can be off just a real life show. What do you call it? Reality show.
Reality show. A real life show. I think that's a better name for them.
Yeah, a real life show. It's a bit more dignity, actually.
Yeah, a real life show.
A real life show. You'll be a person from a real life show. You don't have to have any skill particularly.
Ed loves pantomimes.
I do. I try and go and see the Palladium panto every year because it...
Oh, well, that's different.
It's huge, isn't it?
That's taking the easy way out.
Yeah.
Going to see the Palladium panto, don't do that.
Do you think I should be going to Basildon?
I think if you're really a fan of panto, really, if you're really interested, you'll have so much choice over the entire country.
Yeah.
Of every washed up reality person.
Real life person.
Or every actor who's struggling to make ends meet.
Yeah.
And other people who are on the way up.
Yeah.
And they'll all be doing their best to send waves of love out on the pantomime stage with varying budgets.
Yeah.
And varying scales of quality of prop, such as your prop of Aladdin's lamp here. Yeah. I would say... may belong to a school panto.
Yes,
I think certainly. So. I'd be disappointed if I paid money for the Palladium panto.
And it was the plastic lamp.
This plastic lamp.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be. If you and Cush Jumbo were in a pantomime together, which panto would you want to do? So you're in Criminal Record together?
We're in Criminal Record together, which is not a panto.
No. Are you sure? Oh, we've been given the wrong press release here. No. I apologise, Peter. I wouldn't have gone on about pantomimes.
It's
Apple TV Plus. Oh, yeah, sorry. This is not a pantomime.
It's a thriller.
It's a thriller.
A contemporary police drama.
Nice.
Very exciting as well.
Very exciting.
Eight episodes. That's great.
I think it is, yeah. It was. It's quite a... it's just the discussion of panto has somewhat thrown me that couldn't be further from what Criminal Record is.
It's the opposite of a panto.
Yeah, that's about
without
injustice.
Giving away any spoilers, do you think any of the characters in Criminal Record would have benefited from someone shouting out, "He's behind you," at any point?
Certainly.
Yeah, yeah.
But it would be giving the game away which ones. Absolutely. And I think quite a few of the actors will certainly have been in pantos.
Yeah.
And may yet be in pantos. No, it's a much more dramatic thing than that. It's about someone who's been wrongly banged up for a murder, and Cush Jumbo discovers that and comes in pursuit of the person who put him away, who is me.
Yeah.
And that's a mistake that she does that. She shouldn't come after me.
She shouldn't come after you.
No,
no way. I mean, even from the press shot we've got here on the release,
you don't
very moody
me.
Press shot of you.
Yeah.
Don't go after that guy.
Don't go after that guy.
You look like an asshole, man.
Think I look an asshole? I don't think so.
In that photo.
No.
That
I
photo
think...
when you're half in shadow.
No. I think that could be available as Baron Hardup.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Or Hook. Hook's the other big role, I think.
Hook.
Yeah.
I've been offered that. Yeah, Hook, because Hook you also play, but that's not a panto, really. That's Peter Pan.
Yeah, but that's you can do a panto, Peter Pan, Peter Panto.
I guess so. But when you play Hook, you also get to play Mr. Darling.
It's
traditional that you play. There's all these traditions in panto that you have to follow. It's also to do with how much money they've got, so they can't afford a Mr. Darling. So they get Captain Hook to play Mr. Darling also. And of course, obviously, Captain Hook's hook is a measure of how good the pantomime is.
Of course. Same with the lamp.
Yeah, same with the lamp, because if you get just like a plastic Woolworths kind of hook, you know, like you're Aladdin lamp here.
Yeah.
It's not going to impress the audience very much.
No,
you need a proper sharpened hook, don't you?
Yeah, and also you can always see the actors.
Yeah.
There's always that kind of knob of metal or grey plastic on top of his hand.
Yeah.
And the hook comes out at the end of that, where obviously if his hand had been removed, there'd be space there, so the hook would be farther up. So I don't know how you do that.
The Palladium panto, they actually remove the actor's hand.
Do they?
Reattach
it. The sticker prices.
Who are the stars of that this year?
I don't know who it is this year, but certainly the years I've
been...
Big names, and then also regulars as well. So we're talking Clary. He's in it a lot.
Yeah. Love him.
Yeah, Havers
is in it a lot as well. Is Havers in it this year?
Yeah.
Nigel Havers, I've never seen anyone have a better time than Nigel Havers doing the Palladium panto.
Yeah.
He's having a scream, that guy.
Yes. He seems to have a scream most of the time.
Yeah.
He seems a very happy fella.
Yeah.
Have you crossed paths with Havers?
I don't think I have.
Wow.
I don't think I have. He's got his own theatre company now. He's doing Private Lives with Patricia Horch.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
There you go.
Marvellous.
Yeah. I have literally crossed paths with Havers before.
Yeah.
Near where I used to live, I went for a run and I ran past Nigel Havers.
Well, that's ironic because he first came to fame via Chariots of Fire.
Yes, of course.
A very famous scene of all the young men running on the beach.
Yeah.
And I can see you there.
Yeah. Well, I don't run as well as that. He was probably looking at me.
Was he running or did he have a croissant and a cup of coffee?
It was croissant vibes. He was strolling, had a big scarf on, that sort of thing. Yeah.
You can't run any. I mean, after you've been in Chariots of Fire, it's like you can't go running in public if you're Nigel Havers. Everybody starts singing that theme tune at you or whatever. You can't do it.
I crossed paths with you once, Peter.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Asked you for directions.
How was I?
It's fine if you don't remember.
Was I nice or not nice?
You were lovely. You knew where the place was. You gave me successful directions.
Oh, really?
I'll tell you what happened. I was going for an audition. This was many years ago. And it was at the American Church on Tottenham Court Road.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd never been there before.
Yeah.
And I was a bit late and I was really panicking.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know where it was. And then I saw you and I thought, Peter Capaldi, you'll know where the American Church is.
All right.
And you directed me straight there.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. It was the most successful bit of that day, I tell you.
Did you get the job? No.
No. It was five lines to play Warren Beatty in a drama about Barbara Windsor's life.
I can see the Warren Beatty kind of thing now.
That's what the casting director said. And then I started doing the lines and she looked very disappointed.
Well, she shouldn't have. I think you look like a dead ringer. I was on Graham Norton with Warren Beatty.
Were you?
Yeah, yeah. And he was really, really nice. But he did that thing that big stars tend to do. He said to me, when you're in LA, we must have dinner. And I said, yeah, of course, that'd be great. And that was it. And I thought, but how do you do that? What happens? Do I go to LA and try? Because you don't give me a card or a number or anything like that. Who did I get in touch with Graham Norton and say, have you got a contact number for Warren? And do I call him? And does he remember? Or do I get through to his people? How does that work?
Do you want to go for a meal with Ed instead and pretend he's one?
I'm busy today. Thank you very much.
No worries.
I would love to. Yeah. Normally, but at the moment, things are really...
Sure, you've got a criminal record.
I've got a lot of stuff to do with the show and stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you, anyway.
I asked Bill Nighy for directions once.
Oh, yeah?
Fucking useless.
All right. What did he say? Less?
He said, I don't think I do.
I said,
do you know where the Jon Snow is? I don't think I do. And I was like, right, okay.
Okay, that's good.
I was like, see you later.
That's an adequate impression. Yeah.
You could do Nighy in a drama.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Imagine if I was on my way to audition to play Bill Nighy and bumped into him and asked him for directions to the audition.
Yeah, that'd be tricky. Asking people for directions is quite a stressful from either end, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's because you feel quite bad if you don't know.
Yeah.
And you feel quite stupid. If you don't know, because you think, you know, I've lived in London for, 40 years. I know my way, but I knew where the American church was.
Straight away.
But a lot of places I don't know.
Do you know where the American church is from here? Could you give me directions from here to the American church?
No, here's the mystery to me.
Yeah. Also, I can't stress enough, we were in front of the American church. And
you literally went,
it's there.
It's at the bottom of Tottenham Court Road,
near Good Street.
Yeah, and they do rehearsals and auditions
for Barbara Windsor dramas, yeah.
I once auditioned, I had a similar thing to Ed. Dead ringer for a celebrity, and they immediately realised they'd made a massive mistake and just sent me home after one reading of the lines. Didn't even ask me to do it another time. Can you guess what the celebrity is? I'll give you a clue. It's a snooker player.
Steve.
Yeah.
Steve Davis. Yeah.
We always start with still the sparkling water. do you have a preference?
I really like sparkling water.
Yeah.
But I think I'd prefer to get tap water because I think that's a measure of how serious the restaurant is about looking after me.
Oh, yes. That's good.
That's interesting.
Because if they're not offering tap water, they might have a ulterior motive.
Oh, yeah.
What sort of ulterior motives might they have?
Well, to exploit my ignorance.
Yeah.
And to exploit my naivety and make me pay lots of money for stuff that I don't want to eat. Small portions of things that I don't want to eat. So, but if they say, you want sparkling mineral water or tap water, they're opening their arms, aren't they? They'll stop saying.
Yeah, they are.
Don't be uptight.
Yeah.
It's cool. Your family, come in.
I love this idea that when you go out to eat, you've just got your guard up straight away. You're constantly worried they're trying to screw you
over.
That's
absolutely true.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, and that's I think, coming from, fairly humble background and coming to London and becoming an actor. I mean, being an actor is, my parents had no idea at all about how you became an actor. I don't know anybody in the business, blah, blah, blah. So I had no preparation for entering that world, and certainly no preparation for entering the world of what I thought were posh restaurants, because my family didn't go to posh restaurants. So I was largely terrified when I'd go to a restaurant. But the one restaurant, funnily enough, that wasn't like that, which is ironic, was the Old Ivy.
Ah.
When I say the Old Ivy, I mean the Ivy as was, before it became a sort of brand.
Yeah.
And the Ivy, for listeners who don't know, was a restaurant that was set, I think it was built in the 20s or something like that. It went through various hands. But it was always a kind of show busy restaurant. It was always actors. It was actors who went there as opposed to comedians and music hall artists and panto artists. It was always actors who went there. Vivian Leigh and all that, Laurence Olivier and stuff. And I was going to being quite... quite scared, because you'd look around and there'd be like celebrities. And it was like, Arnold Schwarzenegger would go there and stuff like that. And anybody who was anybody would go there. But they, in fact, they treated you so well and so openly. I used to always think, I wish I could bring my mother here, because they treat my mother wonderfully. Not because she was my mother, but because that was how their staff were. They just treated people really well, like they were going to have a good time and they weren't going to be intimidated. I don't mean the staff was saying, you're not going to intimidate me. I mean, the staff were not intimidating their customers.
Yeah. And they were offering tap water. They were a place that was fine.
Well, in those days, you just took whatever. You just got a bottle of water that wasn't really, because Perrier had just been invented as a brand. And that may have existed in real life in France somewhere. But just
sparkling water was new on the scene.
Sparkling water just been invented.
Yeah.
Can either of you do a good Schwarzenegger impression, Arnie? Because
no.
I keep on thinking,
not even letting you finish the request. No.
This sounds very funny, him saying the ivy. Like, if you imagine Schwarzenegger saying the ivy, I think that would sound funny. But
the ivy? No.
I can't do it.
No, let's imagine it.
Yeah.
I guess everyone's got to imagine it.
Yeah. Everyone at home, imagine that.
Also, where do you want the tap water to come from in the world? Because Scottish tap water is better than English tap water.
Yeah. Well, from Scotland, but obviously that would be a very long pipe.
But it is. Well, this is the dream restaurant.
Someone would have to turn on
it. This is the dream restaurant. You can have whatever you like on your dream meal, Pete.
I'm a genie.
So if you want Scottish tap water, we can invent this long pipe.
Well, I think I'd like Scottish tap water, but not the ones that have labels with drawings of the Highlands and waterfalls and stuff like
no.
that.
No, glens. You don't like that?
Well, that's not what Scotland I come from.
No.
So I need one with a label that's got, you know, kind of a crumbling tenement and some high-rise blocks.
Yeah.
And an ice cream van, you know, in it. I think the water in Glasgow is great. So I'd have some Glasgow water.
Yeah, delicious.
Yeah. Delicious.
Yeah, fantastic. And we can absolutely make that happen. Get the pipe coming down from Glasgow. And then we'll have someone on the other end ready to turn the tap on whenever you want water.
That'd be brilliant.
Yeah. Who do you want to be turning the tap on? What Glasgow icon would you like to turn the tap on so it's extra Glasgow?
Oh, gosh. Well, Billy Connolly's not there anymore. He's over in Florida. So we don't want to have the tap going all the way under the sea and all that kind of stuff going on. But
we can give him a really long arm.
He's the greatest living Glaswegian and the greatest dead one as well. Just the greatest Glaswegian is Billy Connolly. I think maybe Paolo Nutini.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He could be hanging around between gigs, between tours, hanging out in Glasgow. A little bell could be rung.
Yeah.
Paolo would be writing a song, you know. But stop writing my song now. I'll go in. Peter needs some water, man. And he'd go in there, get me some water.
I love it.
Yeah, perfect.
Pop knobs or bread? Pop knobs or bread, Peter Capaldi? Pop knobs or bread?
Oh, God, that's hard. I love poppadoms. Yeah. I really, really love them. And I love them with chutney, with all the various chutneys.
Mm, yeah.
But bread I love too. And there are so many breads that we can choose from. Obviously, I think a sourdough, a crusty roll with maybe some wee, you know, seeds on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
love
I don't know. I never quite know whether bread, whether is it meant to be, is that for eating before the starter arrives or is it to be part of the starter? Because I often eat the bread beforehand and then have to ask for some more.
Yeah, I'm the same as you.
Which is not a good... The restaurant is not good if I have to do that, if I have to ask for more. They should give me a big basket of bread.
Yeah, so or I replace can, it without asking, right?
Replace it without ceremony.
Yeah.
Not with like, here I am with my big basket of bread. Which one would you like?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they just do stuff for you. That's the kind of problem with restaurants. Is really, I mean, I think I love restaurants. You know, I love a kind of art deco restaurant, a kind of sort of one that I would imagine would be in the Chrysler Building, you know, and the Americans have a very kind of, because they're not, I mean, all of our restaurants are, the shadow of the class system, you know, really looms over all of our restaurants. That's the wrong way of saying that. But
no, but
you get what I mean.
100%.
So I think if you go into a restaurant and you're not skilled or confident in that area, you'll immediately start deferring to the waiter. My father used to defer to the waiter, used to call the waiter sir, and basically he'd be very nervous in the company of the waiter because he wouldn't want to offend the waiter.
Right.
He'd want the waiter to know that he did not think less of him because he was a waiter. Uh-huh. And the way that he did that was to be as shilpit. Shilpit is a Scottish word, meaning to be as small and unextreme as possible. So I think that's going on in restaurants all the time. But in my dream restaurant, it wouldn't be. The staff would be amazing.
Yeah.
You know, there'd be one that would be a little bit of a... I'll tell you a good story about a restaurant, actually. I was very lucky. I was in New York and I was doing a show and I fell in with the maitre d' of Joe Allen's, which is a famous, you know, showbizzy restaurant.
Yeah, another sort of big actors restaurant.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And there's one here, but it started originally with the original Joe Allen in off Broadway, and it was run at the time the maitre d'. I could hear it in his voice. He was actually Scottish. His name was Angus. That was a bit of a giveaway.
That's a clue. That's a big clue.
But of course, you don't expect to find an Angus, you know, off Broadway running Joe Allen's.
But then sometimes in New York, they're like, a lot of Americans feel very close to their Scottish or Irish heritage, and they've never been there.
That's right. Yeah, and they don't really care. They get mixed up. They think if they're Irish, they think Angus is an Irish name.
Or, yeah,
you know, whatever. You know, it's all vaguely a kind of Celtic sort of
Celtic,
thing.
Celtic vibes.
Celtic slash Polish slash that'll do. But Angus used to tell me secrets of being a restaurateur. And one of the best ones that he told me, that he didn't do this, but he said it used to happen with the previous person at Joe Allen's. There's a little door. You enter the door and the maitre d' is standing there, a little desk. And obviously he's got his book there with all the bookings and stuff like that. And you may show up at the door, and the maitre d' might not know who you are, and you might be somebody off the telly in the UK, for instance, Peter Capaldi off The Thick of It.
Yes.
But he doesn't know that. And you go to say to him, can I have and he says, excuse me, I'm on, and his phone rings. Sorry, I've got to take this phone call. And he takes the phone call, and the phone call is from the barman who's behind the bar, who's an expert on show business. And he can see who's at the door. And he's saying to Angus, that's Peter Capaldi from a show called The Thick of It. And he's here doing a show on Broadway. He's okay. He's reasonably successful. He's not a big shot, but, you know, he's a nice guy. He's okay to have in the restaurant. And Angus said, thanks. He puts the phone down. Mr. Capaldi, thanks very much. Wow. I love you. And they think, like, come on in.
Very good.
It's cool. So, I mean, I'd be tempted then, if I knew that, to ask them follow-up questions about my work.
I think you'd be wise to.
Yeah.
However, you would be subverting the illusion,
yes,
into which we all buy.
Yeah, maybe
we all know it's an illusion that you're not, you know, even if you're Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah,
I bet Arnold Schwarzenegger still thinks somebody a bit more famous than me, or they don't really mean it when they say they love me.
Surely, you know, Schwarzenegger's not worried about that sort of stuff, is he?
He's very smart. He's a human being. You know, he's a very smart guy. So I think, you know, that's up to you.
Yes.
That's your choice as to whether or not you're going to
maybe I'll just let the
mess with that.
Ed's the maitre d' of this dream restaurant.
Yes, I am, yeah.
Ed Wood, I guess, you know.
Yeah. I know, but I know who's coming in, you know. I've done my research.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good.
He knows you.
Yeah.
What show have I been in recently?
Criminal Record.
There you go.
I love you in Criminal Record, Mr. Capaldi. Please, come to your table. Suicide Squad. Did I say that? The Suicide Squad.
The first one or the second one?
Second one.
James Gunn. Yeah, the James Gunn one.
That was a good one.
Okay. Yeah.
The James Gunn one.
Yeah. I did love that, genuinely.
Big brain.
Yeah, big brain. Yeah.
Thank you very much. You're not being fed this, are you?
No. Please, don't break the illusion, Peter. No.
Good.
Your dream starter, Peter Capaldi.
I think I like calamari. I'm not really a great fan of fish. Mm-hmm. Apart from fish and chips, Glaswegian fish and chips.
Yeah.
What's different about Glaswegian fish and chips?
I think the fish is different.
In what way is the fish different?
It's Scottish.
Scottish fish.
I think the batter's different.
Yeah.
I think the salt and vinegar's different. I think it's just not as fussy.
Mm.
I mean, the fish and chips in London, some gigantic piece of cod. What's cod roe? I don't know what cod roe. Some huge kind of thing covered in orange batter and stuff like that. In Scotland, it's much more businesslike.
Well, the chippies in Glasgow are like the best city wise for like those like takeaways and chip shops are the best I've had.
Yeah, yeah.
It's more pride in it.
Yeah. Like, and obviously you've got obviously there's a few fights when you're in there and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah?
And but that just makes you heartened.
I thought you were tearing up for like an old school joke there and go like, I saw a sausage get battered. Or something.
It's good. I wish I had. Can we redo this?
Here we go. He's going to get us. He's going to get us. There's a few fights in there, obviously. Saw Haddock get mad the other day. You know, that's where I thought we were headed.
No, that's good.
No, but
I'm trying not to think of a similar joke. I don't really.
That would be good in panto. I think that would be. Yeah. If you're doing panto in Glasgow, you'd definitely be like.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Do you want the calamari from a specific place in the world, a specific restaurant you've been to?
No, I love calamari. But it has a slight problem with it, which is that it's squid, and it can. I don't want to be reminded of that it's squid.
Yeah,
it's quite a big
problem. When you said it's a small problem.
Yeah, it's quite a big problem with calamari.
Huge problem.
Yeah, but it's not a whole squid. on a plate with all of its kind of legs hanging out and stuff like that. It's sliced leg.
Yeah.
Of kind of, if you imagine if it was a cartoon, it would be like sliced octopus, right? Wouldn't it?
Yeah. It's the ring. It's rings.
It's the ring. It's ring. A little like onion rings.
Yeah.
But it shares the same problem that onion rings give me.
With their onion.
No, I love onion rings. I could easily have had an onion ring, onion rings as a starter as well.
Yeah.
But it's when you eat them, you put them in your mouth and your teeth are able to puncture the batter.
Yeah.
And you think you've punctured all the way through the onion or the calamari flesh.
Yeah.
And you pull the remaining bits, you don't want to eat the whole ring. Mm-hmm. So you pull the other half of the ring away and you find that you haven't established a clean break. And so the octopus leg continues into the exposed piece of batter.
Yeah.
And then the batter crumbles and then you get a whack as the rubbery ping hits you.
Yeah. It pings back.
That's you don't want that.
You don't want that.
It's a slapstick thing to happen at a dinner, isn't it? So what do you suggest? Because this is a dream restaurant, so we can solve your calamari issues here.
Not my problem.
No.
You're the dream restaurant guys. Don't come to me with the cooking problems. Well, I don't know about that.
I'm going to make them just bite size, so you don't have to bite into them like that. You can just pop them in.
You should be alert to this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you should be standing at the back going, he's worried about it. I think Mr. Capaldi's worried.
Should have had a call from the bar saying, that is Peter Capaldi. He's in a show called The Thick of It, and he's worried about the calamari rings pinging back in his face.
Yeah, so just keep an eye on him.
Yeah.
And if he's uptight about that, if he has a problem with the onion rings, just go over.
Yeah.
Go over and say, okay, all right with onion rings. We can get the other onion rings. But that's up to you. It's not up to me.
Yeah. I'll sort it out so that it's like they're delicious calamari.
Bite-sized bits.
It's little popcorn-sized bit, popcorn calamari.
That's a good idea. Good idea.
Pop it in.
Ah.
Would you ever do, in Old Boy, you know where I'm going with this, surely, Peter.
Have you seen the film Old Boy?
No.
Mm. Well, the lead
James
actor,
is going to do whatever he was going to do now anyway.
The lead actor in that at one point has to eat an octopus. It's a live octopus.
Oh, yeah.
And he just does it for real.
For real.
He just bites into a live octopus and eats it on camera.
Okay.
And the octopus was absolutely ape shit in his hand. But he's just like, and people talk about it and go, like, you've seen that, like, that was real.
Yeah.
People discuss that.
Yeah.
Would you ever do that in a role? If they were like, Peter, in this scene, you've got to eat a calamari.
No.
But it's a live
calamari.
To
eat a calamari or something like that.
No, but like a live octopus.
No, like, it's alive. Oh. I mean, it really look cool if you just did it for real.
Fuck that. Do you know what I mean? All of that kind of stuff. Who cares? Yeah. Really? Who cares, really? No.
Yeah.
Don't make me uncomfortable. I'll pretend to and octopus. That's all we got to do. Who cares?
Yeah.
You know, I love Tom Cruise. He's great. I don't really care that he strapped himself to a Hercules bomber and went up there. I don't really care that he's on the motorbike and he comes. I don't care. You know, it's great and it's terrific and he's a lovely man and, you know, and he's really sweet and all that. I don't care.
Yeah. I'd love to think, because obviously on YouTube and on the internet in general, you get people doing reaction videos to other videos.
Yeah.
I'd love to have you watching that Tom Cruise viral video of him going off the cliff in the motorbike and just going, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care about any of this. Who cares?
It doesn't make a difference whether it's him or another guy, does it?
No, I mean, I admire it.
Yeah.
It's a film. Who cares?
Yeah.
You know, I'm reminded, though, with the eating octopus story of one of my great inspirations when I was in Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Was Martin Landau played the part of Bela Lugosi in a film that Tim Burton made.
Ed Wood.
And there's a great scene in that. For those who don't know, Bela Lugosi was an actor who played Dracula in the 30s and then fell on hard times. Would have done Panto if necessary, but ended up actually having to play Dracula on stage.
Wow.
Tour in America playing Dracula in little theatres all over the country. But he ended up with this, Ed Wood was a terrible director, and Ed used to go into Universal Studios at night and steal props because he was making low-budget film horror movies, and he stole an octopus prop. And he had this scene in this film he was making where Bela had to fight this octopus, and Bela looked at the octopus and said, well, where are the octopus guys, the operators? Isn't there a mechanical thing that switches this on? And they said, no, there is. It's just a rubber octopus. You've just got to fight it. And Bela said, well, okay, if that's the way it is, he took a slug of whiskey and he just fought the rubber octopus. And that's what I used to do in Doctor Who, because I'd go, where's the, where are the puppet operators here? Where is the CGI people for all this? And they go, there isn't any. It's just a rubber octopus.
Yeah.
You've got to fight it. So I go, oh, great, spirit of Bella, go and fight it.
You have a swig of whiskey?
No, I don't drink anymore.
Oh, fair enough.
I used to, but it would draw a veil.
Surely now, if you went to, you know, Joe Allen's, whatever, they would be like, that's Peter Capaldi from Doctor Who. Or is it still the thick of it? Is that still the go-to?
I don't know.
What do you get the most from people coming up to you in the street?
I get both of those.
Yeah.
Doctor Who obviously is, you know, has a long life, but the thick of it is still around.
Amazing. Yeah.
It's still, and people seem to still watch us. That happens a lot, you know.
That character's still like, you know, and that's going to be an iconic character, comedy character for a long time, right?
Well, we were very, very lucky to get it and to be part of it. The writers were amazing. I mean, everyone. We made a great deal of the improvisation and stuff like that, but it sure wasn't really made on improvisation. It was made on writing. I mean, the scripts were like 400 pages long. You know, they were like way, 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 way longer than what you would have for a 25-minute sitcom, and they were full of great material. So you had to shoot all the written stuff, and then you would improvise a bit just to give it that kind of tang of life. But most of the great stuff's all written.
Oh, it's perfect.
As you were saying, I was like, I need to watch it all again.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it all again.
Oh, good.
Is there something about the calamari pinging back in your face that reminds you of a Doctor Who monster and that's why it upsets you?
No, it's just the thing. It's the injustice, because I look a bit... It makes me uncomfortable, because that can't be right. Or is it? I think we'd have to speak to calamari eating experts.
Yeah.
Is it right? Am I eating it wrong? Am I not puncturing the flesh enough, or is this happening to everyone? I've never discussed it with anyone else.
I think you're totally right. I mean, it happens to me all the time with calamari. You end up pulling the whole ring out, and then you've just got a hollow bit of batter, which obviously that doesn't hold up to anything.
Is that right?
It's not common. Right, but it happens.
I don't like the rings for that reason. I'd rather have like the little bits of calamari like the tiny calamari that's.
But onion rings do the same thing.
Yeah. Onion rings are a nightmare. Mm. Absolute nightmare. I used to work in a pub, and there was a massive onion ring once, like huge, in this bag of onion rings, frozen onion rings. It's the size of a donut. And we didn't fry it. We took it out, and we would prank newbies with it. So if someone new came, we would say, do you want a donut? We've got donuts in. They'd be like, yeah. And we put it on a plate, and they'd be like, and no one fell for it, tried to eat it, but they'd always look at it and go, is that a donut? Well, like, nah, it's an onion ring. And we'd laugh and put it back in the freezer.
Is that when you realised you were going to be a comedian because of that great joke?
Yeah.
But I think if you were the victim, it's actually, you wouldn't be the victim, because that's a win-win situation.
Yeah. Mm.
You were expecting a donut and you got a giant onion ring.
Yeah. They'd put you happy with it. Can I fry that and eat it? No, but you can help us get the next newbie. And they're like, okay, cool. I'm in the gang now.
I'm glad you celebrated the giant onion ring.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
That could still be there. By the time I left, it was still... We haven't fried it yet.
That's my issue with onion rings. But then, have you had a blooming onion before?
Well, no, what's that?
So, Ed, language.
They do them in the States there's a chain restaurant that are famous for them, but they do them in like roadside cafes and stuff. So they'll get a massive white onion, like one of those huge ones. And then they'll slice it, but not all the way through, just like down to the root or whatever, like wedges all the way around. Then they'll batter that whole thing and drop it into the deep fat fryer, and it blooms like a flower into separate portions.
Wow.
And then put that on the plate with a dip in the middle. And then you can just pick off these deep fried bits of onion dip and have them. They're not, so it's not ring based.
Right.
But you get all the flavour and taste of an onion ring. Yeah.
That's good. It sounds a wee bit tacky, though.
Oh, yeah. Hugely. It's not a classy onion. They're not doing that in the Ivy.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you were up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but yes. My wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it, and then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Peter.
Your dream main course, Peter Capaldi.
My dream main course, I like, maybe it's because I'm Italian, I like Italian food, yeah. Obviously. It would be between lasagna, spaghetti carbonara, or spaghetti bolognese. All very simple, but capable of being dull, often quite dull, and sometimes quite beautiful.
Yeah. What I'm really enjoying about your dream menu so far, Peter, is the starter, you had a massive issue with it.
Yeah.
Like a logistical issue.
Yeah.
And then these dishes that you're going to pick for your main course, you've said they're very capable of being extremely dull.
Yeah.
But there's always a negative to bring up immediately with your dream meal.
That's my attitude to life, really, basically. It's don't get your hopes up.
Yeah.
I think that's the safer. I mean, that's being very Scottish, I think. It's just, that's the best way to be. Don't get your, you know, and then you won't be disappointed.
Yeah.
So I carry a wedge of disappointment with me. Just in case. And often it's very useful.
Do you feel like your wedge of disappointment has got bigger or smaller as you get older?
Oh, smaller.
Yeah.
But my wedge of reality. Actually, I love this whole thing, this whole kind of question of whether or not being where wisdom starts and where cynicism ends, mm-hmm. where pragmatism starts and ends, and where illusion starts and ends. So I think... If you reach my age, you've been in a lot of restaurants, so you know that most of the time what they're telling you and the way they're boasting about their food is really, statistically, it's not really going to work. There's only, in all of my life, there's been like maybe 5% of the meals have lived up to the hype. But that's okay. That makes life good, because you can get on with your life and you don't have... a crushing disappointment.
Yeah.
Because you know that might not be great. And then sometimes it is great. And that's amazing. That makes it even better. So sometimes, I used to be, when I was younger, people would accuse me of being cynical because I would often look on the darker side of things. But it's not being cynical. It's just being realistic.
Yeah.
And also you then get delights, even more juicy things.
Do you think that attitude helps as well when you're starting out in acting? Because there must be like a lot of like auditions and things like that.
Where... Look at you going along... To get the part of
Warren Beatty.
How did you feel after that?
Fine. I mean, I by that point, I was pretty good at just going into auditions and brain dumping them, and then
be honest, Ed. You have to put a brave face.
I was devastated, Peter.
Well, that's what happens. I mean, you have to learn how to cope with it, don't you? You have to learn how to cope with being rejected. I think it's, you know, I often think My dad had nothing to do with the business. He never went to an audition in his life. I don't think he ever went for a job interview in his life, you know, because his family gave him jobs. So he never, you know, so I've been to thousands of job interviews, even more like, you know, a teacher might go for in their life for four interviews or something like that and get rejected occasionally. We as performers get rejected all the time.
Yes.
So I think you get used to it. But the bad news is the older you get, it sort of comes back. The sort of anxiety and fear about it. You go, fuck it, it's rotten being rejected and feeling awful about yourself. And maybe I'm just as shit as they think I am, you know. But then you go, well, I'm still here, so something must be working.
Yeah. Does an audition stand out as being particularly bad, like the worst audition you've ever had, done?
I mean, the Thick of It one was interesting because that was on that morning. I've told this story many times. I had two auditions, and one was for a sitcom, and I had to go to Television Centre, as was, and I sat in this room. And the part was like, basically, they could have written on the part, you know, a guy walks in, he looks exactly like Peter Capaldi, and he speaks with Peter Capaldi's accent, and he's got two scenes. And it was playing like an MP or something like that, Scottish MP, with two scenes. And he was like 42 or something like that, whatever age I was at the time. And I had to go on tape for this two. And I looked up, and in the room, I had worked with every single person in the room. Every one of them. I'd done, you know, done various shows. And I thought, what the fuck am I doing here? You know, jumping through hoops for all these people who have given me jobs before. But obviously, I had to go to some other executive level. So I did that. I was feeling very pissed off about it. And then walked into the Thick of It interview with Armando, who I love, Armando. But I didn't know Armando at the time. I just knew he was a kind of comedy genius. But my attitude was, yeah. Where's this comedy? Let's get some of this genius going. Let's hear some of the gags.
Yeah.
He went, oh, there isn't a script. Oh, really? There's no fucking script. So what? I'm supposed to fucking come up with stuff. But of course, this was exactly the right attitude. I didn't realize that it was exactly the right attitude.
Yeah.
He said, no, there's just, I'll tell you a scene and you just play the scene with your own words. Fucking thanks very much. I'll play this with my own words. Yes, here we go. Okay. Hit me with the scene. And off we went. And that's how I got to be Malcolm Tucker.
Perfect. So, yeah, that you might not have got it if there hadn't been that audition beforehand.
That's exactly true. So all that, all the rejection that you get makes you who you are.
Yeah.
And how you deal with it makes you who you are, you know, and that makes you an interesting person.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't have thought of, like, there might be some young actors hearing this and going, okay, cool, so I've got to go in and, like, act like I don't give a shit and, like, I've got to be disrespectful. They're going to go in and be like, yeah, this is fucking shit. I'll get the part.
I think
and
then not realise that that's not... One of the worst audition stories I heard was I was actually in... it was a big audition, big trawl they were doing. You know, you go to these things where there's a whole pile of people being dragged in. And I went and I knew I wasn't going to get this thing. And it was... It was for a film that they did. It was an animated film based on that book about pirates. I think the book's called The Book of... A Book About Pirates, I think it's called. And it was the Wallace and Gromit kind of people who were all very sweet. And I was doing my audition and it was, you know, it was crap. But I could hear this booming voice from downstairs. I thought, oh, fuck, Brian Blessed's here. And sure it was. I went downstairs and there it was Brian. He said, what are you doing here? And I said, well, I've just been asked. It's his chairman. Oh, I'm here to play the King of the Pirates. I said, well, that's marvellous. And he had the book and he showed me, have you seen the book? I'm exhausted doing the impression now. He said, have you seen the book? I said, yeah, I vaguely looked at it. And he showed me the book. And in the book, it said, the King of the Pirates looks exactly like and sounds exactly like Brian Blessed. It said in the book.
Yeah.
And then he had to go and audition for it. And I don't even know if he got it.
Danny DeVito, as an icebreaker, once went into an audition and held up the script and went, first things first, who wrote this shit? It's good fun. We need to narrow down your...
Yes.
What one of these pasta courses you're going to have for your dream main course.
Let's go for carbonara.
And who would you like to make that for you? Is it like a dish where when you were growing up, someone made that and it was particularly good?
No. My mother used to make spaghetti bolognese. My mother, who was not Italian, who was of Irish extraction, made the most fabulous spaghetti bolognese. But I think maybe the Italian side of the family had taught her to do that. But the Italian side of the family was only my grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
And he died. So there wasn't really... they'd come up... I think they had a fabulous Scottish-Italian recipe for bolognese.
Yeah.
Which was fabulous. Who would make it? I don't know. What difference does that make?
Because of your... See, I guess I didn't know... it was just your granddad, but like, you know, I thought maybe someone would have made it for you growing up, and that would be like.
Well, they wouldn't have made. They wouldn't have known what carbonara was.
No,
they would have ventured into that kind of area. Spaghetti bolognese, they would have known about, but carbonara. I mean, what you young people don't realize is that there's been a food revolution over the last 40 years. And when we grew up, there was, you know, Wimpy's.
Yeah.
You know, which were basically strips of plastic mixed up with old pig's heads and crushed into a flat slab, cut into circles that would be sold as hamburgers.
I would eat a slab of pig's head. Absolutely, I'd love that. I'd order that on a menu.
The plastic, innit?
Maybe not. Maybe not the plastic, but the slab of pig's head.
Just say hold the plastic.
Love that. No plastic on my pig's head, please.
They didn't know anything about carbonara.
No. So do you have a restaurant that you go to, like an Italian restaurant maybe, where you're like, oh, I love their carbonara?
Ironically, I'm very fond of restaurants that where I don't have to look at the menu and they just know me and they bring stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, there's that wonderful place in Crouch Hand called Floral Hall, which is fabulous. And they do like tapa. Mm. And they have all these, you know, incredible dishes like, you know, beetroot with, you know, sort of curried beetroot and stuff like that, which I wouldn't eat. The menu would just frighten me. So they just bring it all.
Yeah.
And I just eat it and they know me and it's lovely.
So, yeah, that's great. That's the dream, yeah. I think.
And that's, in tapa generally I love.
Yeah.
Because the dishes are small.
Yeah.
And I feel as if also, because when the Spanish have tapa, it's while they're getting on with other stuff. So it's not got the whole kind of ceremony and all the class, you know, indicators of a meal.
Standing up quite a lot of the time as well.
Yeah.
Just like, pop a quick sort of dish in your mouth and then you're on the go.
That's right, yeah. So I like that. So I don't really go to an Italian restaurant now.
People get funny about carbonara though, don't they? Because like you'll go to some place and they're putting cream in the carbonara and then Italians get really angry.
No, I don't mind. I think it's all, anything goes, obviously, as long as it's edible.
Yeah.
Your dream side dish, Peter.
On my side dish, well, that would just be a lovely little rocket salad.
Yeah.
With Parmesan shavings.
Yeah.
How big do you want the shavings to be?
A flake size, probably about 1 centimetre square. Or
we get specific on this podcast.
Maybe more rectangular than square.
Yeah?
Yeah. 1 centimetre by 0.5 centimetre.
Are you a salad man in general? Are you a fan of salad?
No. I mean, I should point out that I eat healthily, but I really want to eat unhealthily.
Right.
And it's only my commitment to staying alive, to keep food on my family's table, that I don't eat as unhealthily as I would really like to.
So it's a daily struggle of resisting unhealthy things.
Yeah, I would eat anything. The more, you know, I love sausages and bacon and eggs and all that, chocolate and everything, you know, everything that's really bad for you.
Would you kick off the day with the full fried breakfast?
Oh, yeah.
Is the Scottish breakfast better than the English breakfast?
I wouldn't say that because I never, again, a full breakfast is something, when I was a kid, you never had what did you have? I don't know, a slice of toast on the way to school. So all this business of full English breakfast, that's marketing.
Ah.
It's all about capitalism. That's all that is, massive selling to you that you should buy this full English breakfast or full, ironically in Scotland, big surprise, it's called full Scottish breakfast.
Yeah, they get really annoyed, by the way, if you're in Scotland and you ask for a full English.
Yeah, you shouldn't because it's, well, you wouldn't in America ask for a full English breakfast, would you?
Probably.
Would you?
Well, I've let it slip out sometimes when I'm in Scotland and go, oh, I love a full English, and then a Scottish person will go, it's called a full Scottish.
Yeah.
And it is different. There's potato, like,
black pudding and
haggis white, on the...
There's more blood.
Yeah, there's
square
more blood.
Sausage.
Square sausage. I love square sausage.
Yes, I wouldn't get uptight about it, really. Who cares? It's something. The whole Scottish... I like porridge for breakfast.
Yeah,
and of course, people think, oh, that's because you're Scottish. But I never had porridge when I was a kid. As I say, we had a slice of toast on the way out the door, if we were lucky.
Yeah.
We never had porridge. I got porridge because it was... Like, if you're doing a show like, say, Doctor Who, and you're like on that for... 11 months of the year.
Yeah.
You get breakfast every morning because you're there at like 6:30 in the morning. If you order a full English breakfast at 6:30 in the morning for 11 months, you know, you're going to have to regenerate at Christmas time because the costumes are not going to fit you. You're not going to get through the TARDIS. You're going to be bigger on the outside than the inside.
It'll be Doctor, what the fuck happened?
Exactly. So you can't. So I said, look, let's just get me porridge.
Yeah.
Why don't you just simple, just get me. So I would come in the morning, I'd just have a bowl of porridge. And off I'd go and blow up some Daleks.
Yeah.
And that was
because it's slow release energy, isn't it? So that's what you need to blow up the Daleks.
For sure.
Yeah.
Or to wrestle with men in latex suits. Yeah. But that's at night. Porridge would get me through to lunchtime.
Nice.
Who was your favourite villain to beat up on Doctor Who? When you saw it on the call sheet, the Daleks are in.
I would go in when I wasn't working.
Beat them up.
There was a scene where they come on, the Daleks invaded a space station.
Yeah.
And they were, you know, there were guys with, full kind of SWAT team outfits waiting for them. Who's not going to go in and watch all that? I wasn't in the scene, but I was standing there going, cheering as they blew them up and all that stuff. 12 Daleks coming through down the corridor.
That's fun.
Slice of toast.
Like the old days.
Yeah. Dalek Cybermen I quite liked.
Yeah.
I can't remember really beating up. I did have to fight rubber spiders, which I enjoyed because of the old Baylor thing. I liked them all. They were all varying degrees of. There were some of them were less. Some of them were a little less cosmic, than others. But they all smelled of latex. I mean, that always takes me back. Is the smell of rubber?
You know the scenes where the Doctor changes into the next Doctor.
Yeah.
Regeneration.
Regenerate.
Thank you, Warren.
Okay.
Now, obviously, I would assume that you're filming your scenes on different. You know, they filmed their bit as their Doctor, and then you're filming your bit separately, obviously. But do you like go in for their bit as well for that scene?
I went in for Matt because Matt Smith turned into me.
Yeah,
and that was so great. It was so lovely because Matt's wonderful. Anyway, he's a wonderful actor, but he's such a nice person. And it was really emotional. We just said, and he gave me the watch that he wore as Doctor Who and passed that to me. And we had some little words together. And then he just handed it over to me. But we couldn't do that with Jodie. We couldn't do that because for some reason they weren't starting filming till way later.
Right.
Or maybe they hadn't announced her or something. So I did mine on my own. And just finished it. But in the old days, that's how they used to do it. They used to just have the other person there. So it's quite emotional.
Yeah.
And also the crew down there are all kind of wonderful. And sort of, it's a very kind of warm family. So people get sad, you know. But it's nice when a new person comes along and brings it to life.
Watching now with that, they brought Tennant back.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
David's lovely.
What are you thinking? Are you looking at your phone every now and again?
No.
They might do it.
No, I don't think so. No. But there's a great piece of film of the original Doctor Who, William Hartnell. And I say the original Doctor Who, I mean it. Who was the story of how he left the show is clouded in mystery. So I don't really know exactly what happened. But he ended up in Panto. And there's a wonderful interview with him, which is the last piece of film of him really, being interviewed in his dressing room. About to go on stage in the Panto. He's in Worthing or somewhere like that, you know. And he's quite openly down on the whole Panto thing. he makes it quite clear that he's a respected character actor of the British stage and film.
Yeah.
And not a front of cloth comedian.
Oh, yeah.
That's a weird.
Is that a familiar term, boys? Front of cloth?
I've just heard
comedian?
Of that, but like.
I know you know the term front of cloth, surely.
Do I?
Yeah.
Is it? That's when like you really need a shit.
Yeah, no.
And it's like. And you got to get some.
It's an old like music hall term, right? Because you'd be in front of the curtains while they set up for the next bit of the variety.
Actors would be behind
you.
Because the curtain, right? But when the curtain came down, and someone would come out and do some funny business.
Yes, some funny business.
There'd be a front of cloth comic.
Keenan and Kel
at the start, and then walk off. Your dream drink, Peter.
My dream drink. Well, because I don't drink, I drink ginger beer.
Nice.
Which is nice.
Fiery?
Fiery ginger beer, yeah. But my friend Kate, I might not keep going on about this, but obviously it sounds like I'm plugging it, which I am, but unnecessarily, because it's really busy, is this restaurant, the Floral Hall, because Kay does, she makes me a ginger and elderflower drink with her own recipe. Mm-hmm. I don't really know what's in it, but it's wonderful because it feels mildly alcoholic. Mm-hmm. I used to drink. I mean, I used to really like drinking, but stopped the way most men from the west of Scotland have to stop drinking at some point. I used to love red wine, Rioja. You know, a nice Rioja would be
nice.
A favorite drink. But I was also quite, I think I fell for the labels. There was a Spanish wine that used to have like a lovely painting of a kind of Velasquez type man with a big, you know, ruff on, and he'd be holding a glass of wine and stop smiling. So I'll have that one.
Yeah, you thought that man looks like he's having a good time.
Yeah, that'll do for me.
I'd like to be that man.
Yeah.
But you're an actor, so you could be that man if you want to. Do you ever think that? Just wake up one morning and just pretend, just be someone else because you're that good of an actor?
A chameleon.
Yeah, I can just be that guy who's on the wine bottle.
I can be anybody.
Yeah.
Of course I can. No, I've got this face. I can only be a person with this face.
Well, that's the thing for all actors, right, that maybe would help with the rejection, is that so much of the time what they're looking for is so specific.
The truth is, the thing that they're rejecting is the thing that somebody else will buy.
Mm,
you that's know, good. That's what makes you different.
Mm-hmm.
It's the thing that the people don't... You're not going to work for everything. So you get to a point where you're the only person that's right for the job.
Mm-hmm. It must be weird with going back to Doctor Who. That is multiple people playing that role. You wonder what exactly they're looking for. I mean, I don't know what exactly they're looking for each time. Is it they just want something different from the last person?
I think James would be a great Doctor Who. Do you agree with me, Peter?
He'd have to cheer up a bit.
You can talk.
Yeah, but the audience has not seen my smiles.
That is a pot kettle black situation.
What the fuck are you talking about?
No, I think it'd be. I think it'd be good. Yeah, but you'd have to be a bit more child friendly.
Yeah,
child friendly.
I'll take that.
Yeah,
quite happy with that.
Yeah, yeah.
I often worried that I'm too much like a kids comedian or kids TV presenter.
No, I don't think so. It's been a long time since I've watched kids TV.
I've got edge.
You're an edgy guy.
I'm an edgy guy.
Edgy guy.
Maybe a companion. I could be a companion.
No.
What do you think to that?
Yeah, I think he could be. It depends who the doctor is, of course.
Yeah.
As to whether he could be a companion.
For a whole series? For a whole season?
Bradley Walsh did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bradley's a talented guy, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I could do it. Bradley Walsh did it. John Bishop did it.
Yeah. Another talented guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure you could. Yeah.
We cut from the same cloth, front of cloth.
So for your dream drink, do you want this ginger and elderflower from, what was the name of the restaurant, sorry?
Floral Hall.
Floral Hall. Do you want the elderflower and ginger from there?
Yeah.
Lovely.
We'd have to get in touch and find out what it is. Because I just say, give me that, the thing.
Yeah.
And she brings it.
That's fine. That's great. Right.
I sound like I'm sitting there like...
Yeah.
Yeah. On the throne.
An effete prince. Yeah. Kind of,
bring me the thing.
That's right.
They're panicking in the kitchen. What does he mean, the thing?
The Dauphin.
And is it on the menu? Or is that something that's just made for you?
That's made for me.
The Capaldi.
Well, it's like, you know, Zoe Wanamaker, who's also in Criminal Record,
our great
show, and is wonderful. Zoe has a cocktail, which you can buy. I don't mean she markets it.
Yeah.
It's just that she's been an enthusiast of cocktails for some time. And so at the Old Ivy, they created a cocktail called a Wanamaker.
A Wanamaker?
Which you can buy all over the place.
How do you make a Wanamaker? Do you shake the Wanamaker?
I don't know. You'd have to get Zoe on, which she could.
We'd love to. Yeah. We'd love to get Zoe Wanamaker on.
I wonder if she'll want a Wanamaker.
I wonder if she'll want a Wanamaker. Do you think she'll want a Wanamaker?
Well, I don't know. I think she might have heard these jokes before, but it's what? Nice to run the mark again.
I doubt it.
Well, I don't think so. I wonder if is there whiskey in it, the Wanamaker?
I've no idea.
It might be Wanamaker's mark. That's the type of whiskey, Peter.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff. She hadn't heard that. She hadn't heard Wanamaker's mark.
Yeah? I think she's heard.
Peter, there's no way she's heard Wanamaker's mark. Your dream dessert, Peter.
My dream dessert. I love custard.
Yeah.
And I love...
So much respect if your dream dessert is just custard.
I would have just custard. I love... I've always loved custard. I think it's because when I was a kid and I went to the dentist or anything like that, my mother would always reward me
with custard.
Hang on. I learned how to make it as well.
Your mum was rewarding you for going to the dentist with custard?
Well, I mean, going to the dentist or something that was unpleasant.
Yes, sure.
You know, she would help me.
I think directly, just because it was the dentist, it made me laugh as, well done, your teeth are healthy, here's a pot of custard.
Well, that's very Scottish. Yeah. That was the way we were brought up. And most kids were like that then. They were given sugary and sweet things to help them through the rough times.
Yes. Yeah.
But then I learned to make custard, and it would come in powder. I don't think it was, you know, I don't mean classic French custard, or whatever they call it, creme, whatever it is.
Yeah. Bird's custard.
It was.
Creme anglaise.
Creme anglaise. It was powdered. It was like kind of, you know, radioactive, bright yellow. That stuff. But I love bread and butter pudding.
Oh, yeah.
I think bread and butter pudding is one of the greatest dishes. Yeah. And I make it myself with panettone, which is, you know, an Italian cake. It's a bread with sultana, some fruit in it. Mm. And I use that and I slice that up and lay it in a dish and then put all the, make up the custard mix and pour that all over and bake it. And that is amazing.
Yeah.
This is, so before we started recording this episode, you were saying to us, like, how many do you record? And we've done like about 6 episodes this week. And one of them, someone told us their recipe for some bread and butter pudding earlier this week and described it to us. Uh-huh. And both times, it's been a bit of an inventive twist on it, you and your panettone, and it's just made me want to immediately have some bread and butter pudding, but have exactly what you've just described, try and make it myself. I think it's a sign that we've got to try this, Ed, because...
It's a sign from the universe that we've got to have some bread and butter pudding
for
soon.
Sure.
Yeah.
And would you then, when it's done and it's baked and you've done it, would you add more custard to it?
I would.
Yeah.
I would personally. Others might not, but I would. And then I would really look forward to, if there was some left... the next day, because of that slightly congealed kind of thing. And then add custard to that. I often think as well, it's kind of vaguely, it's a relative of lasagna in some way, because it's, you know...
It's a sweet cousin.
It's a layers of stuff with other stuff in between and a kind of creamy kind of binder.
Yeah, it's a, you know, it's probably you do it in the same dish almost, wouldn't you, if you were making it in a sort of lasagna dish.
Yeah. So. And fun enough, those are the only two dishes I can make, bread and butter pudding and lasagna.
Oh, great. Have you ever done them back? Do you do them back to back?
No, that's too labour intensive.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to say that. We don't have enough. We don't have enough.
You just got the one dish.
We've only got the one dish.
Yeah.
So we couldn't do that. And there's no point making a little version of either.
I mean, this might be too outrageous, Peter, but have you ever thought about doing a half and half? In the same dish.
That wouldn't work. Sweet and savoury.
Yeah, but they're separate. There's probably a bit in the middle.
You'd have to have a dividing thing,
or you just avoid the strip in the middle.
The
strip in the middle, where they touch.
No, but they have to be overbrimming. You have to have either enough custard or enough bechamel sauce. Mm, you have to have too much of that.
Yeah.
So that it comes over the... So they would mix up. You couldn't do it. It'd be horrible. Have you ever heard that song? I can't go back to savoury now.
No.
By John Shuttleworth.
Oh, I love John Shuttleworth.
Oh, he does a fabulous song. Yeah. And it's all about, he's eating, I can't remember how it goes, but he's at dinner with his wife and his daughter and he's eating, they've got like mince pie or something like that and he's eating that. And then his sweet comes along and it's possibly custard or something like that. His daughter, meanwhile, has been taking longer to eat the mince pie and has decided she's had enough.
Yeah.
And she's leaving some, so she offers her dad some mince pie. But he's eating his custard.
He's in the custard.
He says, I can't go back to savoury now, which is the sad refrain.
I saw him do a whole song at the Edinburgh Festival just about cereals that he likes.
Yeah.
And it was so funny.
Yeah.
But like just for ages, just listing every single type of cereal.
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to read your menu back to you now.
Oh, God.
See how you feel about it, Peter.
Okay.
You would like Glasgow tap water. You would like a bread basket.
Turned on by Billy Connolly. No, Paolo Nutini.
Paolo Nutini. Problems with bread. You would like a bread basket that gets topped up without ceremony.
Without ceremony.
And without you knowing. Without you having to ask.
Yeah.
Starter, calamari. Main, spaghetti carbonara. Side dish, a rocket salad with parmesan shavings. Drink, ginger and elderflower from the floral hall, which is called
a Capaldi.
A Capaldi. Mm-hmm. And dessert, panettone, bread and butter pudding with custard, your own recipe.
For sure.
Absolutely delicious.
I want that bread and butter pudding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll get some sent over. I won't really.
What?
Because we're in show business. This is the show business me.
Yeah.
This is Warren Beatty.
Yeah, this is we should have dinner in LA
situation.
Yeah, it's
the Warren Beatty guy. Yeah.
Your little twist on it, I like, is that I'll send some bread and butter pudding over to you.
Yeah.
You should start saying that to everyone, I think.
I once did, I was in this film, Maleficent. Which Angelina Jolie was in, and she was lovely. And she was at the height of her extraordinariness.
Yeah.
And I would see her on the set, and she'd just be extraordinary because I'd never seen anyone who looked, you know, she'd look at you and it would be like being hit with a water cannon, you know, because she was so extraordinary.
Was she in costume as well? And like, she had like horns and stuff, didn't she?
And she was very, very sweet. And one, because I played, I'm not in the film, I was cut out. This is another, this is show business. I played the King of the Fairies, but they cut that part of the film. They changed the story so that she was no longer brought up by us. So we were on the cutting room floor. But I had to be in makeup for a long time, and a lot of the fairies had to be in makeup for a long time. So that meant when we finished filming, we still had 2.5 hours of getting all this stuff off. And so we'd go into the makeup room and get all the stuff off, and everyone else would be home. But one night there was a little tap at the door, and someone was there with a large tray that Angelina had sent with a couple of bottles of wine, some cheese, some apples, some fruit. No bread and butter pudding.
No.
But a lovely little gift to get us through the night.
That's a classy move.
So that's
don't
classy.
Eat the apples off Maleficent. Stay away from those apples, Peter. That's actually out of order. It sounds like a nice gesture, but she's trying to fuck you up.
Thank you so much for coming to the Dream Restaurant,
Thank
Peter.
Thank you, it's my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, there we go, James.
Lovely stuff.
Lovely stuff. What a lovely man. So nice to meet him.
Yeah.
He was also, after we finished recording, he was delighted that he gave me the correct directions to the American church.
He's very happy about that.
You went to the toilet and he was going, I'm so glad I gave you the right directions.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, you've made his day just telling him. I mean, what a nice thing to happen for someone just to come up to you and go, here's something you don't even remember doing.
Yes.
But it was nice.
But it was nice helpful. And thank you. And obviously I knew who he was, but I didn't have time to say, nice to meet him, I'm a big fan of your work.
Same with me and Bill Nye.
Yeah.
It feels good though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
If it was really good, stopping a celeb, asking for directions, not acknowledging who they are and just going on your way.
Yes.
It feels great.
Yeah. So if you do want to ask James for directions, don't acknowledge who he is.
Yeah. I would love it. I'll try and give you directions.
Yeah. He won't know where the fuck you need to go.
No, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I do my best whenever anyone asks me, but...
But thank you. Also, I didn't say it during the episode, the worst feeling is when someone asks you directions and you have to get your phone out to look on Google Maps.
Yeah. I had to do that. Some people in... it was Glasgow, actually.
Was it?
I was in Glasgow and some tourists stopped me and they wanted directions to the Hard Rock Cafe. And I was like, I said, I'll give you directions, but I don't think you should go there. So I said, there's so much good stuff here.
Yeah.
So don't go to Hard Rock Cafe. And then they laughed. Went, yeah, but please. I was like, okay, I'll do it, but like...
But this is a bad idea.
Don't go to Hard Rock Cafe. Like, definitely don't eat there. But they really wanted to go.
Well, we loved having Peter in, and he did not say Hershey's.
He did not say Hershey's. Thank you, Peter, for not saying Hershey's.
The bread and butter pudding. I can't wait to have bread and butter pudding again.
I'm going to eat that panettone bread and butter pudding.
Oh, I'd put cold single cream on panettone bread and butter pudding, I think.
Would you?
Yeah.
I'm thinking I'm team custard.
Yeah, you're team custard all the way.
Get on it, Apple TV Plus. Watch all 8 episodes of Criminal Record, Peter Capaldi and Cush Jumbo.
Yes, I'm very excited to watch that. I will be watching that ASAP. Also, just to tie up some loose ends in the episode, he said tapas weird.
We were aware of it.
Yeah.
But we didn't pick him up on it.
Yeah. In fact, I like the way he said tapas and I'll be using that from now on.
Tapa.
Tapa.
Yeah, I'll start saying
tapa. Global tapa.
Yeah. Tapao. Remember that band?
Yeah.
Maybe start calling it Tapao.
Thanks very much for listening to Off Menu. We will see you again next week. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh, no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about maybe, you know, a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But yeah, this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.